This is the Leading Second podcast, where we're on a mission to raise up uncommon church builders and be the kind of leaders our pastors would kill to have on the team.
Leading Second, what's up? It is Thursday morning, and that means we are back with another episode of the Leading Second podcast. So glad you're here today for an episode I believe is really going to speak to your heart, really encourage you in your ministry call. If you lead, but you are not in charge, then Leading Second is for you. If you have a heart to want to get it right for your pastor or for your leader, you lead from the second chair or any place in the church, in your organization, this is a space for you. So glad you're here today. And I'm particularly excited about today's episode. I feel like I say that every single week, but it's true every week. And today, man, this one's good. If you are in a situation where you are believing God for something in your life, something in your ministry, then you want to devour every single second of our interview today. I believe it'll speak life into you and encourage you, a message of God's faithfulness, even in his timing. So we're going to have a great time today with our episode. Before we get there, I wanted to bring a couple of bit of housekeeping announcements to us. First of all, we are in the middle of a campaign we are calling I Am With You. In honor of Pastor Appreciation Month, we wanted to add our voice to the conversation at Leading Second and make bold declarations toward our pastors. We wanted to reclaim the conversation of honor toward authority and just make statements toward our leaders, telling them, I am with you. This, of course, is coming out of 1 Samuel 14, and we have a whole podcast on this. You can check out our social media on this. But I would encourage you to participate. Use your voice. Make a statement for your pastor. Do a post like we've done. I am with you. You can even use some of the graphics that we provided. Tag us. Use the hashtag Leading Second, hashtag I am with you. We'd love to share what you put. And let's make a statement toward our leaders that we are with them in a generation and in a day that is tearing down leaders and standing up to authority. I think as God's people, it's time for us to say, no, we're with our leaders and we're with those in authority. So that's I am with you. And along with that, I'd encourage you to head to leadingsecond.com and buy merch. We have a special line of I am with you merch. We have some sweatshirts and shirts and sweatpants and our classic dad hats and stuff that you can wear to represent our tribe in your world and in your space. So empty out the store. We have a limited run available, and we'd love to have you rep our tribe everywhere that you are. So, hey, before we get into our episode today, we had another great I Am With You story come in from a member of the Leading Second Tribe, someone declaring their heart for their pastor. So let's check out this great, I thought this was so good, this great I Am With You story.
I joined the team here in South Florida a little under 5 years ago, but it wasn't a job or a title that I was called to. It was these incredible leaders. When I interviewed, I just knew I was called to serve the leadership of this house. And because of that, it doesn't matter what job or responsibility I have, I'm just happy to serve. I've gotten to watch them pretty closely over the past couple of years, and the closer I get, the more I love and respect them. Integrity is at the heart of everything they do, no matter what it might cost them. Their ability to love people right where they're at while also calling them up to the full life, the John 10:10 life that God has created for them, is powerful and unlike anything I've ever seen. They're champions of unity in the local church and honor everyone, and I mean everyone, they come in contact with. No matter what is said to them or done to them, they passionately pursue humility. They trust young leaders like myself and my wife with undeserved holy responsibility. But most importantly, I've learned so much about the nature of our God by simply watching the way they live their lives. They lead so well. They love so well. But they love Jesus and his church in a way that inspires me to know him more. My name is Cole Robinson, and I'm with my pastors, Todd and Julie Mullins, at Christ Fellowship Church, Heart and Soul.
If you have a question you'd like to hear us answer on the podcast, or if you'd like to share your story, why don't you reach out to us at leadingsecond.com? Or contact us through social media. We would love to hear from you. We'd love to pray for you and potentially feature you on an upcoming episode. Well, for today's episode, I am so excited and honored to welcome back to the podcast Pastor Dan Lord. Dan is now no stranger to the Leading Second Tribe. He's been on here two or three times, I believe. Dan and his wife, Paige, pastor Victory Church in St. Louis, Missouri. I actually had the opportunity to be with them and their team recently. And man, I was blown away by all that God is doing at Victory Church in a new season for a church that actually is, I think, around 40 years old. And yet God is just breathing new life into this church. They are busting out the seams. Even when we did team night, they had to bring out extra seats. It was so awesome. The real miracle, though, is in the fact that Dan and Paige wanted to plant a church for years, but they chose the route of honoring the leaders in their life, even when leaders told them no. And it's just amazing to see what God has done now in light of their obedience. And so today we thought we would just have a conversation on God's timing, on following God's call for your life. So if you're believing for something in your own world, listen up. This one's for you. So here we go. Let's dive in my conversation with Pastor Dan Lord. All right. Well, I'm sitting here today with my good friend, now lead pastor.
Come on.
Pastor Dan Lord.
What's up, everybody?
Victory Church.
Come on, Leading Second.
St. Louis, Missouri.
That's right.
Hey, I love you guys so much.
Oh, we love you and Lindsay, your whole crew, all the team at Champion Center and all the people that help with this podcast and Leading Second. It's just amazing what God's doing through you guys.
Well, thank you. And I got a chance to be with your church this weekend.
Yes.
Absolutely loved it. And you are affectionately like, I think it would be like a spiritual cousin.
Yeah.
You know, we
might
should
be a great cousin because I come from your pastor's
spiritual uncle, maybe
church. So I'm like, maybe great uncle,
my spiritual great uncle,
the second cousin.
You worked for years for Pastor Kevin's dad.
That's right.
Here in St.
Roy
Louis.
Roy Gerald.
He, my spiritual grandpa, he's a legend.
That's right.
Just one of the greatest men I think I've ever met in my life.
He's 88 years young, still going strong. Wrote a book last year.
Oh my gosh.
First book, published book came out at 87.
Oh my gosh.
Preached for us in June. It was amazing. Our church just loved him.
He's so special. And you had years where you served on his team here in St. Louis. And today we're just going to talk and just have kind of an open conversation here on God's timing.
Yeah.
On following the call of God in your life and ministry. I just love your story. This episode might even be a little different, and I'm just going to let Dan go and share some story here and share his experience. And I think what I'm hoping everyone listening will hear today is the idea of trusting God's timing, that in the end, God's timing wins when it comes to ministry. And no doubt everyone listening, you have dreams, desires in your heart for what you are believing for God to do in your life. And I believe so many of those are put there by God and are the right things, but timing is a whole nother issue. And so I guess just kick us off, Dan, and talk to us for a few minutes about your story. You were here for years in St. Louis, but then you spent some time in Memphis, and you know,
that's right.
Before ever being a lead pastor, which actually just happened for you in the last year. So I guess just share a bit of your story on, you know, maybe the first half of your journey.
Sure. Well, my wife and I were born and raised right here in the St. Louis area. Our families, were deeply rooted here. I was in the same church for 32 years, born into Pastor Gerald's church, dedicated as a baby, you know, baptized at 6 by Pastor Kevin Gerald. And then, just grew up in the church, was part of it, didn't know anything else and wasn't looking really for anything else. When you talk about God's timing and your dreams coming true, I don't think it's something we've ever strived for. We saw pastors that were here. They weren't going anywhere. You know, our worship pastor was the worship pastor, and you know, we didn't have high turnover in church.
Yeah.
We had high commitment from the pastors, like their church and their church family. So we were raised really with that mindset. So when we started feeling that God wanted us to plant a church back in the early 2000s, we did sense that there was a different kind of church that we were supposed to build than the one that Pastor Gerald was leading.
Sure.
You know, it's like, well, we grew up and we knew that, we were familiar with it, but we did start to have these senses of like, there might be a few things that we would do different if we were the leaders.
Sure.
And that maybe God wants us to do that. So that was interesting time period to not get, disenfranchised or start to get skewed with our own church that we were part of.
Yeah.
So I think that was a delicate time. Thankfully we made it through that. I don't think we probably did everything perfect. You know, we'd have late night conversations with friends about things that maybe we didn't love about our church, but weren't ever public with that. You know, we're sorting it out.
The funny thing is, I mean, I've known you for how many years now, and that's actually the first time I've verbatim ever heard you say that. I mean, I probably could have guessed, but you've held such high honor toward Pastor Gerald for years that even as long as I've known you, you've never even said those words to me. So
they were not things that were wrong.
Right.
It just would be preference or a different way of catching our generation, you know, different modes of going about ministry. So, you know, just to be real clear about that, we loved our pastor, still do. So I think in that season, we started sensing that there was something else, and we would describe like youth group for adults. You know, I didn't have the handles of like life-giving church or things like that. So I feel like that's what we have today. We're pastoring, and I kind of feel like I'm pastoring a giant youth group. They're just adults and senior citizens in there and teenagers and kids. You know, but it was that sense, what we were sensing was people that really, 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 really loved being together, which is kind of what our youth team, we really loved being together. We were willing to do whatever for each other and with each other. We love to do missions and help people in an outreach sense. That was a lot of desire in our heart. We had passionate worship. It was very simple, like a love for the word. We would even have nights in youth group where we'd have, it was so stupid. It was, we called it prayer and Bible reading night. It was just
one contemporary night.
We weren't slits. We weren't fancy. It was like, what are we doing tonight? It's prayer and Bible reading night. And you know, like just kind of real simple. I think and sometimes we had seen other models that were more complicated.
And so your journey though didn't take you straight to church planting.
No,
your journey took you to a 13-year stop.
That's right.
This is Joseph who has a dream in their heart and yet all of a sudden is in a different city.
Yeah. Thankfully I didn't get thrown in a pit.
No,
and
correct.
Get beat up.
Correct. Not prison.
Or sold.
Sold in slavery.
Right.
But you did find yourself in a second season.
That's
so
right.
Maybe talk to us about that one for a minute.
Yeah, I can distinctly remember I was thinking that, wow, we're going to get the chance to do this. And at first I felt like God, you know, it wasn't God that closed the door, but it was man. And Pastor Gerald had blessed us to plant a church. And then we found out that he wasn't going to be able to bless us if we did that. So we had a decision to make to be submitted to our pastors or to do our own thing.
So lean into that for a second. What was that like for you?
No, it was so hard. It was the biggest test of our lives at that point to keep the church our number one priority, to lead people into the future, to not do anything to harm the church that I'd been a part of my whole life, and to preserve the relationships, the divine relationships that God had given. It's so easy in a moment to miss the divine, you know, just below 30 something years of relationship, could have done it, but I would have always been looking over my shoulder, always had regret, would have probably hurt a lot more people than I even would have been able to count even know about.
So let's pause for a second because spoiler alert, you're a lead pastor now. Spoiler alert, you know, God's blessing your church now. You've seen, and we'll get to that in a second, but you're seeing tremendous, so it was obviously a God dream. It was obviously there, like put there by God. So like end of the story proves it, but backing up to that moment, I think that makes that moment even more powerful that it was a God dream, but there was a pause somewhere.
My pastor said no.
Right.
And I think in that moment, we didn't realize that that decision would be determining where we would be today, 14 years later, 15 years later. So I would just encourage anybody that's in those kind of places, just make sure you make the right decision, talk to the right people. But we had to, again, then die to that. And I remember my wife and I talking about it. It was like, wow, we thought we were going to get the chance to really lead and do things that we can see. But when God led us and called us to Memphis, we used to say, what I was about to say was we would say that, you know, Pastor Gerald decided for us not to do it. And we, as we've grown older, we don't say that anymore. We would say of our story that God closed the door
yes.
for us to plant here. He used our pastor and he purposely sent us to Memphis. It was in his plan all along.
Totally was.
We just had to discover and trust. So, but I remember we had to decide in our hearts to lay our lives back on the altar and die to any dreams we had.
Wow.
And anybody that we had talked to about that, we had public conversations with that said, I know we told you we were going to do this, but we're not anymore. And this is what we are going to do. So, that was a big step. And I think sometimes people go into maybe a season that they don't do that.
Yes.
So we had to, when we went to Memphis, we had to go with no other plans.
Wow.
Trusting then that we were being submitted to our new pastors. And if God ever led them to lead us into something different, then we would know that God would make it obvious. So that's how we entered into Memphis was someone had suggested just going there for a year and then church planting.
Wow.
And I really don't recommend that for people. I recommend going for as long as your pastor thinks you need to go or
totally,
whatever.
Totally.
So we really died to the idea of church planting. Were there times we would think about it? Yes. When we come back to St. Louis, we'd be like, man, it would be awesome. Mm. It was still down in there, you know, but we had to lay that down. We didn't have long conversations. My wife and I, we were serving our church and we were planning to die there.
Well, and so God took you to Memphis, to Life Church, Pastor John and Leslie Seedling.
Yes.
And I mean, a church of, what was it, several hundred people at the time. Little did you know what God was about to do in that season. I mean, that today is a thriving multi-site church.
It's become a leading church.
In the nation. Little did you know that you were going to have the opportunity to lead from the second seat, you know, so to speak, and do it leading second, you know, do it on that kind of a growth arc.
That's right.
And I find that pretty interesting.
Yeah, those are the things that we look back. That's where we know, like, okay, God, you knew what you were doing.
Totally.
You were taking us there to get stuff out of us. You were taking us there to put stuff in us. And that both of those lists are long. You know, the big deposit that Pastor John Leslie made in our lives.
That's right.
I was just texting him today, like, thank you for piling it on, teaching me the art of being piled on. And because it stretched us, it made us learn, it made us grow. And now I told him, I said, I figured you out because you have vision now that keeps you stretching.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just all those things I'm so thankful for.
So you had 13 years there, I believe.
Yes.
What did you do there?
Well, we just started out doing whatever Pastor John Leslie needed. That was our first conversation, is we feel like God's calling us here and we're here to help. And no title, no agenda. And I remember asking Pastor John what his biggest headache was. It's a great question to ask your pastor if you're on staff or even if you're a volunteer leader. It's very important. And he said, the nursery. I don't even like to walk in there. It's not a great environment. The we're having to pay the workers, things like that.
Okay.
And
okay.
I said, okay. And we had just had a baby girl. She was about a year old and I'd been a youth pastor. So I didn't know the first thing about nursery besides, you know, you're going to have to change some diapers.
Right.
And I hate changing diapers.
And just please make the room not stink.
Oh, it's just, I couldn't stand it. So God knew what I needed right away. Go die in the nursery, you know. And within a short amount of time, he said, I want you to get involved with our creative team and help us here. And then why don't you help with grade school, be in charge of all the kids, ministry all together. And then, you know, as things progressed, as we were faithful with whatever Pastor John gave us, then he and Pastor Leslie would give us more. And so eventually that grew into being executive pastors along with another couple in the church that for many, many years, we were, you know, pillars for Pastor John and Leslie. I hope they would still say that.
Well, and that's sort of when, you sort of reentered our orbit, you know, so to speak, with you were, I remember you taking me on a tour of one of the campuses, you know, there. And, I just love the idea that God was setting you up in ways you had no idea.
Right.
That now you're benefiting so greatly off this season that at the time, probably you had no idea the stage that God was setting for you.
No. Yeah. We would have been lost. If I had planted a church back then, it would have been a mess. Like, I don't know that it would have even survived. Not every church does. So I'm still thinking it's like God had a prevent defense. Like, I'm going to take you to Memphis.
Okay, so like, now take us to the third act here. The third act is God started speaking to you again about planting. Talk to us about now coming back to St. Louis. What brought you back?
Well, Pastor Gerald is, as I mentioned, was 87 last April. He called in 2018 and said, I feel like maybe you're supposed to be back in St. Louis. And I about fell out of the chair I was sitting in.
Wow.
And we were never coming back unless he said that we could. So that was kind of the starting point. Was I wasn't going to go ask Pastor John. And I felt like that wasn't right. And some people told me that I should go ask Pastor Gerald. And we just felt like that was a prodigal kind of like going to take the inheritance.
Wow.
That, you know, when your father's living, you don't go ask for the inheritance while he's still alive.
Wow.
So we thought, well, if he's going to die, then we'll be in Memphis the rest of our lives. You know, if he had never opened that door back up to St. Louis. So when he did, it opened up a whole bunch of stuff we didn't even know was hardly there. You know, it was like, oh my goodness, that was so strong. The feeling still to be here.
Wow.
Like I just laid on the floor and cried for like an hour and a half after I got off the phone with them.
Wow.
And there was another church that needed a pastor he knew of. And so I just asked him on the phone. I said, well, are you saying it's just that church or are you saying the whole city's open? And he said, it's yours. I think you're supposed to be there. So that just kind of started things and God confirmed it in different ways. And then our pastor, God had spoken to him in prayer and fasting that same, a year before that Paige and I wouldn't be there for forever, but that we would someday pastor our own church. So when I went to go talk with Pastor John Leslie, I said, hey, you know, Paige and I would love to catch up with you soon. And he said, I already know. And I said, what do you know? And he said, you're going to pastor your own church. And I said, how do you know that? He said, God spoke to me a year ago in prayer and fasting, and I've been waiting for you to figure that out. I said, you could have told me, you know, and he just said, no. A couple of times I came close to talk to you about it, but you know, so God used Pastor Gerald and Pastor John confirmed it. And I tell you, it's the safest, best place in all the world to be is when your pastor 100% is behind you going for it. Cause he did so many things for us and I couldn't have done for myself that have set us up to win today.
So you got a call about the church that you now pastor, and talk to us a little bit about that because you have just walked through an amazing transition. I mean, just not necessarily easy, but healthy, strong. Yeah. The church is, I mean, just months in is thriving. I guess just talk to us about now walking into this season at Victory Church.
Sure. Well, maybe I could just go back first.
Sure.
Because when I actually came here, Victory Church was not the church Pastor Gerald called about.
Sure, that's right.
So part of just trusting my pastor, Pastor John asked me to do three things: to not talk to anybody else about it, to keep it between us in a place of confidence until he was ready, to have an open heart to go to another city that maybe St. Louis wasn't it. Hmm. And I was like, no, I'm pretty convinced. And he's like, well, you need to start opening up your heart. I need to know that you're open. And then the third thing was, he asked, are you totally submitted to me?
Wow.
And I said, well, Pastor John, I sure hope you know that I've proven that in 13 years. He said, well, I just need to hear it again. And what it did is it reminded us the importance of all those things, you know, really, truly,
right.
Like, am I really submitted?
That's right.
So because of that, Victory Church actually came about. It was the second church that asked us to be their pastors.
Wow.
So, you know, part of submitting was this was actually my pastor's idea. He called Pastor Randy and said, I want you to know Dan and Paige are coming. They might be planting a church. Would you want them to be your pastor? And he said, well, that's interesting. A year ago, I told our board that I would love it, but didn't think he'd ever let them go.
Wow.
So part of that submission is I wouldn't be the pastor of Victory had I not been fully submitted and trusted my pastor.
Wow.
So when I say I wouldn't have what I have today if I wasn't, that's kind of what I mean. So,
wow.
And then coming into Victory, the blessings that we're experiencing now, I can truly say I did everything that I was advised to do from Pastor John and Pastor Leslie and Pastor Kevin and Pastor Sheila. yeah. Gerald. They were really our guides. And Pastor Kevin Sheila have been in my life, my entire life. And Pastor John Leslie became our pastor. So those two couples, I literally wrote down everything Pastor John told me to do. And I had a list that Pastor Kevin told me. Hmm. And I've crossed all those things off.
Wow.
And so a lot of times I think we struggle because we have the chance to do our own. So we do our own and we don't do it with the advice of the people who could do it better than us.
Wow.
So I don't think we're real smart. We're just smart enough to know we need still those big voices in our life. Cause that's all we knew before. I was like, well, what do you think? Wow. What do you think? And Pastor John now will tell me, oh, you don't need me. You got it. You know, it'll be fine. You know, and I'm thinking, man, I'm used to you telling me, you know, if it'll work or not.
Wow.
So.
Well, and fast forward to the end of the story, you're, you know, 10 months in, and, you know, it's just been so fun for me to see this week, and you've already had to add another service.
Yeah.
You know, we had a packed out team night. Who has to bring out extra chairs for team night? You know,
that was a good thing.
That was a great thing. And, I mean, I get a chance to go a lot of places, but there was something special about this one, and I'm still trying to put my finger on it, but I think it's everything we just talked about all rolled up into one, that it's just you are walking in the blessing of God. And, you know, even though you definitely started lead pastoring later than you would have planted.
Sure.
In no way, shape, or form is it proving to be a late start. It's actually proving to be God worked on your behalf the whole time.
Yep.
And I just think there's a miracle in that every young leader could really anchor into, that God knows exactly what he's doing in preparing you, in setting the table for you, and submission to authority works.
Yes.
And God honors it. And it's something we can hang our lives on.
Yes. I would encourage anyone that's listening today, if you're battling with being submitted, just make the decision no matter what to listen and to obey unless it's not biblical. But you just always win that way. That's been the story of our lives. We're not the smartest. We're not the brightest. But if we can do what our pastors have asked us to do, it has worked out way beyond what we could ever plan.
Absolutely. Maybe last question or two. Brag on your church for a minute. What are you most excited about right now with Victory Church?
Most excited about, that's easy for me.
Okay.
We started a leadership environment, kind of like a leadership boot camp called Advance, an 8-week leadership course that meets every Wednesday night for several hours. And we had over 80 people that signed up for it and had to pay $150. So it kind of separates, you know, if you're really serious about it in church, like, you're charging for that? That there was this early in that there was that many people that wanted
to
do it.
Amazing.
And there's a lot of older people in the church that have been there a long time that are still hungry. And I don't know, for some reason, it used to fire me up, all the young people. And I think it still will in time, but to see some of the people that founded the church and built the church wanting to learn and grow, that's just got me super excited right
now.
The
founding pastor's wife is in the leadership academy. She can teach
Pastor
it.
Mary Jo. But she said, well, can I do it? And we were like, well, you can, but you could teach it. And she showed up the first night. I couldn't believe it.
It's absolutely amazing.
So I'm pretty excited about that. All the new leaders that are springing up, and God's bringing the right people into the mix that are helping us out big time. So we're just so, so thankful.
So I have one more thought to unpack. And that's that years ago, you invested into relationships that you're now reaping the harvest of. But back then, you could never have known. You invested into a man that's now on your team. And I'm sure back in those days, it was just kindness to another, you know, youth guy across town, you know, sort of a thing. But now, now he's literally one of your number two.
Yeah, he's my right-hand man.
I mean, just maybe unpack this thought with me that kindness and generosity works, and you don't know how you're going to reap that harvest someday, but God always returns it to you.
Yeah.
You know, when you just sow freely and generously into the lives of other leaders. I just love the thought you were literally encouraging one of the very people who would now run alongside you, and you never would have even known that.
There's a bunch of them. I think even Pastor Randy, the founding pastor, you know, when he would ask me to come and pour into the church, I didn't realize I was pouring into the church
amazing.
I would pastor.
It's so amazing.
I did a leadership night last June, and like I taught that night. And so a couple months later to become the pastor, I thought, I sure hope I did very good. You know, you just don't realize that it's coming. It's a boomerang and it's coming back. So one of the things I love about you and Lindsay is that you are both, and Pastor Kevin and Sheila too, are all kingdom minded.
Yeah.
That we have a temple we look after. But I just encourage everyone, sow into other pastors, sow into other ministries. Don't get so head down that you don't look up and see the other harvest fields and people that are working in them, because it'll come back to you if you encourage them.
Absolutely. Just final question. Preach for a minute. What would you say straight into the heart of a young leader sitting out there, big dream in their heart, does not see the way forward? The dream's real, but the path isn't. I mean, what would you say directly into the heart of that leader right now?
I'd say, trust God, trust his sovereignty. Don't get in a hurry. Time is fast and slow. And if you, the more you trust God, the more it relaxes you, and take it to God in prayer. You know, for sure, talk to trusted people, but take it to God in prayer. That's what I would do. You know, Jeremiah 29:11 is written for a reason. That's why, you know, all the Hallmark stores have Jeremiah 29:11 on little pieces of wood you can buy.
I call those Hobby Lobby verses.
Okay, Hobby Lobby verse. You know, I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you. But most of us fail to realize that the context that's king is it's not written to everyone. It's actually written to the exiles. People who feel like they're one place, but God has something else better for them. That's the promise of God.
Wow.
Is you're one place and you believe you're supposed to be in a better promised land. Keep trusting God because he knows the plans he has for you.
Wow.
And if you need a guide, the few verses before it say, settle down, marry, have babies, seek the prosperity of the city that you are in. Like, don't get destination disease. Sit tight, trust me, and seek me, and then everything will work out okay. So that's a great roadmap when you don't feel like you're where you're supposed to be.
Absolutely. Well said. We love you so much.
Love you.
Thank you for doing what you're doing. Thank you, to be on the Brandon. Journey with you. Glad to have you as a spiritual great uncle.
Oh man, here we go. Come on, cuz.
Well, I think you'd agree. That was a pretty incredible story. And I pray it encouraged you. I pray it breathed life into you. And I pray that it drove all of us back to the place of trusting God with the outcome of our lives as we honor and submit to authority, that we can trust his timing and we can trust his faithfulness. So glad that you joined us for the podcast today. Before we leave, I want to remind you, help us make some noise on social media. I am with you. Honor your pastor. Use hashtag leading second, hashtag I am with you. Help us reclaim the conversation. Honor the leader in your life. I think it'd be a great statement for us all to do. Also, head to leadingsecond.com, buy up merch. I am with you. Merch available there. And we'd love to have you represent our tribe in your world. So until next time, Leading Second, we love you. I love that we get to do this together every week. This is the honor of a lifetime. I prayed for this. Lindsay and I believe for this. And so thankful for all of you that tune in from around the world to listen every single week. And until we talk next time, Leading Second, let's run strong for the kingdom and lead in an uncommon way together.
For more information, check out leadingsecond.com or join us on the Leading Second Forum on Facebook.